Hey everyone, it's AZ with the Fire Rescue Wellness Podcast, and today I'm not introducing a guest because I don't have one. I am recording a solo episode. I haven't done that for a little while, but I wanted to commemorate my 100th episode with a little bit about my retirement. As I record this in my use your finger quotes studio, I have been retired for just a little over 24 hours, and man, was it an emotional roller coaster. I feel like I am hungover, but I didn't drink. So I'm hungover with emotions. I'm so tired. The shift was so super exciting. It was so fun. It was everything that I imagined it would be and more. When we retire at my fire district, they ask us how we would like our last day to go. And initially, I didn't think I wanted any of the pomp and circumstance and the cake and the visit and all of those things. I didn't think I wanted those things. The only thing I wanted was to have each and every one of our five female employees working with me on my last day at my station. And I was a little bit nervous. They all did shift trades to get onto my shift. And I was nervous because when we are at minimum manning, the medic at my station doesn't roll out the door. And so we had extra manning that day, coincidentally. So each day I was just checking, crossing my fingers that no one had called sick and no one had gotten hurt. And so the morning came and the schedule was still set. I was so excited and I walked in and everyone's face was a little bit dejected, I guess is the best way to put it. And we had a challenge. It wasn't a manning challenge. It was a vehicle challenge. We have not one, but two extra ambulances in our fire district. And they were both out of service. And so we didn't have a rig to put the medics in. But thank you to our friends at the nearby fire district, Derry and Woodridge. They loaned us a medic unit to get the day started. And then one of ours got fixed, so we got to get back in our rig. The five of us had a wonderful day, wonderful meals, great fellowship, lots of visitors during the open house. We had dinner with my battalion chief, which was really fun. He was super late, but that wasn't his fault. And then we got the last call of my career right after dinner, and everyone did just such a great job, saved a young man in anaphylactic shock. So that was a good way to go out. And then I didn't have any calls overnight, so I should have been sleeping all night, but I was up pacing around the firehouse. So that's how my last day went. And now I am just emotionally hungover. So thanks to everyone that messaged me, that sent me emails and texts and commented on photos on Facebook. I appreciate you all. And retirement is pretty sweet so far. Today, however, I want to talk about 20 things I learned in 20 years in the fire service. And I said this was going to be a solo episode, and it still might be, but after I record 19, I'm going to hit pause and see if my best friend responded to me so that he can do number 20 with me. But without further ado, number one, always buy pink. Pink accessories, pink shoes, pink pens, everything pink. I hadn't been on the fire department very long, and I came in one day, and this dude was wearing my shoes, my gym shoes. He was running in my gym shoes, and he didn't understand why I was upset. And I tried to explain to him, like, dude, shoes are not something that you use of someone else's, especially without permission. And so once he got done with the shoes, I threw them away. I ordered pink shoes, and for the rest of my career, I ordered pink shoes. I had pink glove straps. I had pink everything. And if it couldn't be pink, I stuck Hello Kitty stickers all over it because dudes will not steal your shit when it's pink. Mark my words. Number two, without exception, I should say almost without exception, it's never about you. When someone is treating you badly, when someone's being cruel, when someone's criticizing, when someone's tearing you down, it's almost never about you and it's about them. And I wish I could have understood that 20 years ago, because it would have made my life so much easier. Without exception, it's almost never about you. Number three is related to number two. Some people are just assholes and you can't change that. They're going to be an asshole no matter what you do, no matter how kind you are, no matter how much you go out of your way, no matter how much you take the burden off of them and put it on yourself, they're still going to be assholes. On the same note, other side of the coin, some people are absolute angels and you will never change that either. I had a coworker. I now know that there's a word for it. It's called a golden retriever. That coworker was always kind, always smiling, always ready to go above and beyond, no matter what you did, no matter what you said, no matter how bad the day was. That person was always, always happy and present. Some people are just angels, and you can't change that. Number four, I learned pretty early on that you have to be very careful what you pour your love into. As much as the fire service wants you to get excited and they want you to join teams and they want you to take classes, sometimes they also don't allow you to grow in the way that you want to grow. I was so very excited to be a fire investigator. In fact, I was so excited that I paid for my own classes. And it wasn't just a 1 week class, it was 3 weeks of classes. It was very expensive. I was so excited to be a fire investigator that I paid for it myself. And then I got myself into what I can only describe as an abusive relationship. So I had paid to take these classes, and I was more or less used and abused and discarded and left with a very sour taste and left the team with a very sour taste in my mouth because I loved it so much and I poured my love into it. But sometimes when you love things, you're going to get blocked. And that's what happened to me with fire investigations. So just know you can pour your love into something and you can still be blocked. Related to love, number five, I learned this from a coworker. He always said relationships are not 50-50. Relationships are 100-100. You have to give 100% every day. But sometimes 100% doesn't mean completely 100%. So in other words, if you are sick, if you are tired, and you can only give 80% that day, but that's everything you can give, that is your 100% that day. But if you and your coworker or your spouse or whomever you're in a relationship with are only both giving 50%, the relationship will ultimately fail. So relationships are not 50-50, they're 100-100. Number six. Communication is essential. It's essential in the fire service. It's essential in romantic relationships. It's essential in family relationships. Communication is the key. Think about it. When you read a NIOSH report, what do they always determine? There was a breakdown in communication, whether it was in the radio traffic, whether it was in the equipment, whether it was in the goals and objectives, there's a breakdown in communication. I had a pretty hilarious breakdown in communication. I had been on the job maybe 5-6 years, and I was on the ambulance with one of my all-time favorite coworkers, Carl. And if you've seen any of my pictures on social media, Carl is the one who was always doing the countdown with me. We got hired on the same day. Carl and I were on the ambulance together. And then there were three giant humans on the engine company. And I only say that because it becomes important in the story. So we went out for, I believe it was, the dispatch was for complications. I don't think it was complications of pregnancy, but something about female problems. That was the dispatch. And so being the lone female on the crew, obviously, I get tagged to be the one to go check it out. So I walk into the bathroom and I'm talking to the young lady, and I find that she has a prolapsed rectum. And so I turn to my partner, Carl, to say quietly, because, you know, people just don't really want that broadcast. So I turn to him to say quietly, prolapsed rectum. Carl hears the word prolapsed. He turns to the other three and screams, cord. So now those three think it's a pregnancy with a prolapsed cord. The three giant humans are throwing couches and tables and chairs out of the way to get this woman loaded onto the cot. And I'm just standing in the bathroom going, what the hell just happened? And I looked at Carl and I said, what is going on? And he said, it's a prolapsed cord. We have to move quickly. I was like, oh my God, girl, prolapsed rectum, prolapsed rectum. Communication is key. Number seven, I learned this one of my first days on the job, and what the firefighter said to me, it was Steve, we were up on a roof and he said, what do you know about this roof? And I said, I started regurgitating things that I had read in the building construction textbooks and everything else. I was so proud of myself. And he put up his hand and said, no, there's only two things you know need to know about roofs. Can you walk on them or can't you? And in that moment, I realized that we make things so complicated, not only in the fire service, but in life, we make things so complicated unnecessarily, because he was right. There really were only two things that I needed to know. Can I walk on it or can't I? Everything else falls into place after that. Number eight, ask for what you need. No, let me strike that. Demand what you need. Now, I'm not talking about the latest and greatest, I need a new fire engine when mine is only 3 years old. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your PPE. Make sure your shit fits. I'm talking about your training. I'm talking about how you spend your day at the firehouse. You need to ask for what you need. And when you are told no, you need to ask again and again and again and again and again until you get what you need. Ask for, or in fact, demand what you need. Your life depends upon it. Number nine, the number of actual crises in life is infinitely small, just like the number of actual emergencies in emergency services. When I started the fire service, I truly believed I would be saving babies and families from fires every day. Well, maybe not every day, at least once a week, I would be saving people from fires. I believed that I would be conducting extrications on vehicles all the time. I believed that I would be pushing drugs and doing ALS interventions all the time. I believed that there were going to be so many emergencies and I was going to save so many lives. But truly, the number of calls, the number of meaningful calls that I went on in 20 years is quite small. Most of the time, when we got called out, it wasn't a true emergency. It was a perception of an emergency. The person that called truly believed that the reason they were calling was an emergency. But the number of actual emergencies was very, very small. And we can actually apply this to our life. Many times when we are wound up, twisted, out of our minds, worrying about something that seems to be so important, it's really nothing. And I guess it's that whole thing, if it's not important in 5 minutes, 5 months, or 5 years, it's really not important. I think that kind of applies here. Number 10. This one, I'm so glad I did this. Number 10 is take the picture, write down the memory. I realized my first day online at the firehouse, everyone was talking about stories and funny things other people had said. And I looked at my coworker and I just said, this is incredible. And he said, don't worry. Once you're here for a week, you will have stories too. And he was right. It took about a week and I had stories to share as well. But what I'm really glad that I did was early on, I started writing down what I called quote of the day. And usually it was just one funny thing that someone said during the day. Sometimes it would be several things, but I started writing those things down. I also started taking a lot of pictures, even when it seemed ridiculous. And I do have some ridiculous photos, but I took pictures, I wrote down stories, and I wrote down quotes. And now looking back, it's incredible. The memories are incredible. So take the picture and write down those memories or those quotes of the day. You won't regret it. Number 11 is related to number 10. Firefighters say ridiculous shit. I just can't with some of the stuff they say. And I am so glad that I wrote it down so that I can remember it. And if you want to see some of the stuff they say, head on over to my Threads account. I repost it to Instagram as well. But wow, they say ridiculous stuff. Number 12. Diabetes is a really good model for life. You really need to stay on top of things or you are doomed to keep repeating the same script. For years, we had a patient, a very brittle diabetic, and like clockwork, we would be out to that patient's house several times a week and for low blood sugar instances. And without fail, it was always the same story. The patient had had too much alcohol, which then impacted the blood sugar, which then caused the blood sugar to plummet. And now they were in a low blood sugar situation, laying in their bed, drenched in sweat, unresponsive. And that script repeated itself hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times during my career because the patient never changed the script. The patient never made the choice to take care of their alcoholism or to take better care of their diabetes. So the same thing can apply to us. We are doomed to keep repeating the same story until we change our script. Number 13, when you have a chance to choose your team, choose them wisely. The crew that you work with at the firehouse can make or break your day, just like the people that you surround yourself in your private life can make or break your day. I had some of the best days and I had some of the worst days, and it all generally depended upon the crew that I was working with. So if you're in a position to choose your own crew, to look at the stations and say, who do I want to work with? Do your research, choose wisely. Number 14, wearing the same clothes to work every day frees up a lot of mental capacity for creativity and in other areas of your life. And so Dan John, the famous strength and conditioning coach, actually says, I have 5 black shirts, 5 black pairs of pants, however many socks, however many underwear, and he wears the same shoes every day because he doesn't have to think about it. When he travels, he doesn't have to put together outfits. He just throws in the appropriate number of shirts, pants, socks, and underwear, and he's ready to go. And because when I went to work every day for 20 years, I didn't have to decide what I was going to wear, that definitely freed up time and mental energy for other areas of my life. Number 15, as long as you're getting the job done, stop listening to the noise and the criticism that's going to happen no matter what. The noise and the criticism, you're going to get it, whether you're doing the job perfectly or you're doing the job in a way that, quote unquote, that's not how I would do it, you're going to get that criticism regardless. So how about you just do the job in the best way that you see fit? If you took a saw and asked 5 people, what is the procedure for starting the saw? You are definitely going to get at least 5 different answers. So as long as what you're doing is correct, why not just do it the way you want to do it? Number 16, sometimes though, you just have to say, fuck it, throw up your arms and hand it off to someone else. You can only take so much criticism about how you're doing something before it just becomes ridiculous. So if you need to, hand that saw over to the next expert and walk away. Number 17, there is a solution to every challenge, and that solution may involve some sort of matrix. It might include finesse. You might have to wrestle. You might have to use brute force. You might even have to break something. But there's a solution to everything, and that includes relationships. Let that sink in for a second. Relationships are very challenging, and sometimes you're going to need to use your matrix of finesse and wrestling and brute force and sometimes breaking up, but there is a solution to everything. Number 18, related to 17, please remember, always, always, always try before you pry. Number 19, some people are gonna do stupid shit, and if you pay attention to it, if you fixate on it, if you get distracted by it, it takes away from your joy. I was driving home from work the other morning, and there was, I think it was a man driving his car by himself in the far left lane at 50 miles per hour wearing a mask. It's 2024. We're done playing COVID. And this dude was in the far left lane driving impossibly slow. And I just started to get so angry. And then I just realized people are going to people, and sometimes they're going to do stupid shit. And I can't change that. Thank you for joining me on the Fire Rescue Wellness Podcast. I'm your host, AZ. I find the research and resources and then provide the fire service with the so what, now what, to ensure the health and well-being of every member of our profession. Together, let's thrive.
I was just listening to your podcast about your anxiety about going to coffee shops. And this is giving me anxiety, but for you, I will do this.
So listeners, we're being joined a little last minute by my BFF, Andrew Pogvara. Andrew, say hello to the listeners.
Hello, everyone.
Yes. and Andy, it took like some strong arming and some stuff like that to get him on. But I figured if nothing else, we could do number 20 together, which is pay attention. You never know when you're going to beat your best friend for life.
Right.
Andy, do you want to tell the story from your version of how we met?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember it that we, it was a check well-being call. I don't know if we could say an address, but it was, where it was at, but, get this check well-being call, get there. Suicidal lady ended up having to go to the hospital and, asked for the police escort to go with in the back of the ambulance. And we're riding to the hospital, and you start in after treating the patient and taking care of making sure that they're stable and whatnot. And we start doing 20 questions. And lo and behold, it finds out that you were working part time in the town that I grew up in, where my parents, had their house, and my mom still lives now. And yeah, and it just went from there.
Well, and 20 questions, I think, is the best way to get to know people. But here's where I really was like, whoa, this is so cool. When I would drive to work, where in the town where your mom still lives, when I drive to work, I would see this house and there's like limousines parked outside. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is so weird. Not like one, like several limousines.
Yeah, several.
And so I always thought about that. And then when we were playing 20 questions, lo and behold, the house that I had noticed 100 times is where you lived.
Yep.
Crazy.
Very crazy.
So yeah, we had a lot of, we used to go on a lot of calls together because we were new kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
And you worked nights and I was on the ambulance. But the one call in particular that I remember really well is I was not having it. I was so tired and crabby. I don't remember what the call was for, but I took the stack of blankets off of the cot and I handed it to you. Because didn't you say, can I help you or something like that?
Yeah,
or what can I do? What can I do? And I'm like, hold these blankets. And then like a matter of 50 seconds later, I was like, where are all the blankets? It was bad. It was bad. So yes, we've been the best of friends for 20 years now. And it's just, it's been a crazy ride. But let me ask you about some of my other things I learned in 20 years. See if you have anything to add.
Okay.
The first thing I told everyone was buy pink. Because firefighters steal your shit. Does that happen in police as well?
Oh, yeah. Gear adrift is a gift.
So how do you get people to not steal your shit?
Oh, you got to like scribe your badge number or your name on there or something like that, you know. So then you, if you find somebody with like your cuffs or your flashlight and you have like your badge number, you know, chiseled in on there, you know who the thieves are around.
Have they ever, like, you know how on guns they scrape off or they scratch off the identification number? Do people do that to your shit at the PD?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I suggest trying the pink thing. I think it might work.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. Well, certainly, and it works for you guys because being females, that and I don't know many males that would be comfortable. I would be all right with pink, you know, it wouldn't bother me, but there's certainly some people in the profession that are just like, oh no, I would never wear pink.
Never. I also suggested the Hello Kitty stickers. That has always worked for me as well.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. All right. So number two, I said, without exception, it's almost never about you. And I should say, not without exception, but it is almost never about you. When someone's being unkind, aggressive, whatever, name it, it's usually not about you.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
100%. Absolutely. 100%. You never know what other people have going on in their lives and what are their traumas or stressors and things like that. So, yeah, you know, generally for the most part, I think everyone tries to do good and there are certainly bad people in this world, but, you know, regardless of whatever, like I said, you never know what other people have going on in their life. So, yeah.
We're doing good so far. My best friend is agreeing with me. All right. Number three, I said, some people are just assholes and you can't change that. Some people are absolute angels and you can't change that either.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I told the story about, you know, I have some coworkers, I call them the golden retriever coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter what's going on, no matter what's going down, they are smiling. They're happy. You can probably picture the exact people I'm talking about. Do you have those people in the PD too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, there are. I just saw a good one though the other day. It was the German Shepherd people, you know, and the German Shepherd are those ones that they're loyal, but they still have their guard up. But the minute they welcome you in, you are a friend for life. And I like to envision myself as being a German Shepherd instead of the Golden Retriever.
Uh-huh. I'm definitely not a golden retriever. I mean, just right back to the blanket story. Can I help? Hold these. Yeah, not a golden retriever. All right. I said number four, be careful what you pour your love into because sometimes your love can be blocked. And my example was I was so excited to be a fire investigator that I put myself through the school and then it just kind of backfired on me. Has anything like that ever happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's still happening to me.
All right, we'll just leave that one right there. Number five, this one actually came from Steve Watkins, who you know. Mm-hmm. Relationships are not 50-50. They're 100-100. And further though, sometimes 100 doesn't mean 100%. So if you're having a rough time and you can only give 80, but you're given your whole 80, that works way better than this whole like relationships are 50-50. Mm-hmm. And I think that especially we've done really well with that, because sometimes you're doing great and I'm doing bad or vice versa, and we're just always meeting in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so.
Well, and I agree with you, and and years ago, you actually put me in check about our friendship, and this was many, many years ago. And
tell me more. I forgot this.
Well, like what we were just talking about earlier, you don't know what other people have going on in their lives. And I think I was, struggling, dealing with some things. And, I don't think I was as receptive. And you had said something like, hey, you matter to me. And I'm making the effort. And so I want to see you also make the effort. And that always stuck with me. And I think that, because of that conversation, and you put me in check, and I appreciate it, and I will never forget it. And for that, I will always love you and always, have you near and dear to my heart.
Damn, I forgot about that. You know what's also funny is when you say the most profound things, and then I'm like, that's so awesome. Where'd you hear that? And you're like,
you
said it last week. God, just getting old.
Yeah.
Communication is essential, which I think basically we pretty much just covered that one. That's number six.
Yeah.
Number seven, another Steve Watkins. There's only two things you need to know about a roof. Can you walk on it or can't you? And so that's just like when you get so tied up in all the tiny details, you're thinking about everything when really you only need to think about one or two things. Mm-hmm. That guy is really smart. He said a lot of smart shit. Mm-hmm. I miss him. Also, I saw him yesterday at my retirement. Dude has hair down to his shoulders.
Really?
And a crazy beard.
Is he like doing any music? Because I know he was always like really musically inclined and talented. And so is that like he's living out his, older days?
I think he might have been kidding, but he said he's going on tour in Europe. So I don't know if he was serious, but...
I think he was in a band years ago, wasn't he? Right? Yes.
Yes. Sacred Warrior. He's still in a band.
That's awesome.
Okay. Number eight, ask for, in fact, demand what you need. And this was more in reference to like my PPE, my gear, my uniforms, like nothing ever fit me, but I just kind of like, after I asked, I just kindly went away. What do you have to add to that?
I don't know. Come back.
Yeah. Put a pin in it. Favorite term. Okay. I'm putting a red pin in it. Okay. You're going to love this one. The number of actual crises in life is infinitely small, just like the number of actual emergencies in emergency services.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate?
No, I don't have much.
Drop the mic. That one was a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, you're going to like this one. Take the picture, write down the memory.
That's good.
Always take the picture, always write down the memory.
Yeah.
Because you just told me something I actually forgot, another conversation that we had that I forgot. Number 11, firefighters say ridiculous shit. You've had dinner with us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the same. It's the same in the the police side too. There are some interesting characters out there.
It's true. It's a cast of characters.
Yeah.
I put, and I think you'll know exactly who this is. Diabetes is a really good model for life. You have to stay on top of things, or you're doomed to keep repeating the same script. And I talked about a patient that we used to go to all the time for the same reasons,
mm-hmm.
And I think you probably go to the same complainants and the same, what do we want to call them? Can we say perps? That's kind of dumb. What are the people?
Customers.
Customers. Repeat business. Repeat customers.
Yeah.
You're doomed to keep, if you don't change your shit, you're doomed to keep repeating it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, you'll like this one. When you get a chance to choose your team, choose them wisely.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to work with the best fits. All right. How about this one? Wearing the same clothes to work every day frees up a lot of mental bandwidth for creativity.
There you go. Yeah. I never thought that, you know, because I don't know. Wearing a uniform every day could get somewhat tedious, but then you're like, I don't ever have to worry about what I'm going to wear to work.
No, when you were in detectives, you didn't wear a uniform, right? And then no. You had to worry about what you're going to wear.
Yes, I know. And it, yeah, caused a lot of stress. Yeah.
Caused a lot of stress. All right. As long as you're getting the job done, stop listening to the noise and the criticism that's going to happen no matter what. Do it the way you want to do it. Do it the way that you see fit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You've seen it at the fire station, people critiquing what you're doing, standing around drinking coffee, critiquing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, and so many people want to go ahead and give you their opinion and tell you, and like you said, critique, but how about instead of critique, how about help out then?
Which leads us directly into, sometimes you just have to say, fuck it, throw up your arms and tell someone else to do it.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
All right. This is a good one. There's always a solution to every challenge, and that solution may involve a matrix. It could include finesse, wrestling, brute force, or breakage. And that includes relationships. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Number 18. Always, always, always try before you pry. See if the door isn't locked before you bust it down.
Yes. Yeah. That's the first thing we teach all of our breachers. always try the door handle before you have to go ahead and break their door down. It's never fun. Like everyone always, you know, they always get upset because, us, you know, grunts and the breaching world just love to smash things. And then they always get upset when people leave their doors unlocked, which always surprises me though. Like why criminals would leave their doors unlocked, but sometimes they do.
All right. Oh, also advice for the criminals out there. Lock your doors.
Yes. Yeah. It makes it more fun for when the police come bashing it down.
All right. And number 19, some people are just going to do stupid shit. And if you pay attention to it or get distracted by it, it takes away from your joy.
Yeah.
And my example was I saw some dude driving 50 in the left lane of the tollway by himself in his car wearing his mask recently. All right. And then number 20, we already talked about it. Pay attention. You never know when you'll meet your best friend for life.
That's right.
So I just cannot tell you how grateful I am for you and how fun you've made some of the stupid stuff that I've had to do in my career. And I have always been sad when I moved away to a station that you did not cover, but I always knew that you were there for me. So thank you to my best friend. And do you have anything to add?
No, thank you. I'm so proud of you. I'm looking forward to what you have in store in your future coming up and excited to see what you have going forward. So I'm just so happy for you and wish you all the best.
Aw, thanks, friend. So we're going to drop the mic. If you can hear, Andy's outside. It's beautiful today. You can hear the birds singing. I'm actually probably going to pull my carcass out of my bathrobe and go do something productive. I don't know what it's going to be, but with that, AZ and Andy are officially out.